look to Jesus
when it comes to prayer. What do you say?
Let's pray. Father, this year, 2016, just a few weeks into this year, Lord, we're asking, requesting that we would experience the best time in prayer in our life this year. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. What do you think about that? What I just said, my prayer. Were you awake when I prayed? What do you think about that 2016 that you're going to experience the best time you ever had in prayer? Do you receive that? I mean, the best time. I didn't say it's going to be a good time. I mean, you know, that things are going to be perfect, but I'm saying that whatever happens, that you're going to develop, you're going to experience the best time in prayer. Is that your desire? The best time in prayer. And when I'm talking about prayer, I'm not talking about the SOS type of prayers, you know, the where we just ask God for things, or those FQIH prayers. You know those FQIH prayers? Those fast, quick, and in a hurry prayers? You know, you pray as you're getting into the car, and you pray, you know, you turn down the radio. I'm talking about, what I'm talking about is not just those type of prayers, but I'm talking about your prayer life, that you're going to experience the best time in your prayer life, that prayer becomes a habit of praying. And what we're talking about is that our prayer life, it exudes, it oozes out of our trusting relationship with God. Amen? Because if you don't trust God, you ain't going to talk to him. You'll talk about talking to him, but you're not going to talk to him. You'll talk about praying. You'll talk about I like prayer, or we talk about how others pray, but that's where we have to develop. When we trust God, then you'll naturally talk to God. Can I get a witness? And so 2016, we're talking about experiencing the best time in our prayer life, because as we deal with things, our trust in God would just become elevated, would become heightened. What do you say? Prayer. 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 Do you receive that? Just tell somebody, this is going to be the best year for my prayer time. This year, 2016. Now, you know the devil heard that, didn't you? You know he heard that. You know he heard that. You know he's going to fight you for that, right? You know he's going to do something to cause you to dislike God so that you won't say anything to him, but he's a liar. Huh? 2016, I'm going to experience the best time in prayer. In prayer. Talking to God. Could you fix that for me? Talking to God, the best time in prayer. Thank you. What do you think about this? The purpose of prayer is not to work a change in God, but to work a change in us so that we desire to do his will. I mean, talking about godly prayers, we're talking about the essence of prayer has to do with our will, with his will. We live in such a commercialized, such a high-tech world. It's about, you know, tangible, concrete things. And it's about if things don't change the way we want, then prayer is judged. We assess prayer on that level. But as I read scripture, the essence of prayer, the struggle of the men and women, the struggle of the boys and girls, the struggle of the people in the Bible has to deal with their will and God's will. And we cannot let this world change what the essence of prayer is. The essence of prayer is not about getting stuff. It's all about His will, being available for His will. What do you say about that? Prayer, talking about prayer. So who encourages your prayer life? I mean, is there any images that come to mind when you talk, when you think about praying? Any people come to mind when you think about prayer? You know, in the prayer life of Abraham, the great negotiator, we learn the value of prayer where he actually prayed for cities. Remember that, the intercessory prayer for cities? We should be praying for our cities. What do you say? Praying for Norfolk, praying for Virginia Beach, praying for Chesapeake, praying for the cities, praying for the cities. You know, I passed some stores. I passed some the beverages store. I passed some of the alcohol store. I pray that those folk don't go into those stores. You ever do that? Huh? You should just pray and intercede. God, don't turn them away. Don't discourage them from going, from getting high. Come on, somebody. Somebody has to. Behind every great move of God, you'll find a kneeling figure. So before something happened, somebody prayed. Someone prayed. So you could bless somebody as you go by the liquor store and say, God, don't let them go there. What do you say? Huh? Pray for yourself that you don't go there. Huh? From the prayer life of David, we learn the value of repentance. Remember David's prayer in Psalms? We own our stuff. What do you say? From the prayer life of Anna, we learn the value of a lifestyle of church attendance and serving God. She served God with fasting and prayer. From the prayer life of Simeon, we learn the value of obeying the Spirit. Here is Simeon, a senior citizen, and he prays and he listens to the Holy Spirit. And guess who he gets to see before he closes his eyes? Jesus. See, if you obey Jesus now, you'll see him later. What do you say? Huh? From the prayer life of Daniel, we learn the value. Keep praying in times of trouble. From the prayer life of Solomon, we learn the value of seeking God for wisdom. Not Google, but God. Google may give you knowledge, but only God can give you wisdom. Huh? From the prayer life of Hannah, we learn the value of a committed prayer life. From the prayer life of Paul, we learn the value of deepening, of asking God for knowledge, praying to ask God to help me love you deeper and better. So what we've learned, if you read scripture, we find a principle when it comes to prayer. For every problem, you can talk to God. There is no problem on earth that heaven can entertain, that heaven can address. What do you say? Thank God for the people who encourage us to pray. I'm a witness. I have seen it with my own eyes many a day when my mother got up out of bed, her knees hit the floor before her feet in prayer. What an image. What's the image you have of someone praying? Because we're talking about 2016 becoming the best time in your prayer life. And so how do we accomplish that? Hebrews 12:2 has been our text. It says, looking unto Jesus. Remember, we talked about that. Actually, in the Greek, it says, look away, that we look away from ourselves, look away from things, look away from others, and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? And when we talk about finishing, we understand finishing doesn't always mean completing the task, but when God calls you to do something, you do your very best and don't give up. And so whatever God has called our church to do, we can do it. Whatever ministry God has called you to do, you can do it. What do you say? Because 2016, we're claiming, have you claimed that this is going to be the best year ever for your prayer life? The best year ever for our prayer life. That our prayer exudes from a trusting relationship from God. And see, I've never read in the Bible, you cannot separate your prayer life from faith. You cannot separate your prayer life from faith. What you say, you should believe. When you pray, you should believe it. And what you pray should be based upon the Word of God. Talking about a prayer life. A prayer life. It's going to be exciting. God's going to bless us. That when we talk to our Heavenly Father, it's about doing, understanding His will, not just our what we want. That we understand that God actually hears us. Do you realize that? God, how many here has spoke to President Obama personally? How many here have spoken to God? Mercy. Well, you can name drop, can't you? You know, the other day I was speaking to God. Come on, somebody. I didn't say you spoke to a diplomat. I didn't say you spoke to an ambassador. I said you spoke to Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah Jireh. That's who you hang out with. You get a headache, you don't talk to the pharmacist. You could talk to Jehovah Rapha. Rapha, the Lord who heals. That's his name because that's what he does. Huh? Go get a prescription from him. Talking about our prayer life. But because we live in this world, and you know, I'm ambivalent at times, but I think I like living at this time. I don't think I would love to live in the 1700s because I would be a slave and I'd be running. Huh? Be mad at somebody. Huh? So I don't know. This time. But one of the casualties for Christians of living in this technological world is that we begin to process God as an ATM machine. Huh? We ask the master for this. An ATM machine. We ask the master for that. We ask the master. And there's nothing wrong with asking, but the casualty is the relationship. So you know, you write out your, you know, you go to the master and he's the ATM and you make your deposit out and you're expecting big and God gives you $5, you don't want to talk to him anymore. Bag that. You know, you get on your knees and you got this expectation and it's serious and you write out your slip and you put it into the ATM and you ask the master for this and he doesn't come through and you want to say, I'm not going to that bank anymore. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Your trips to prayer begin to diminish. Because you want to kind of kick the ATM machine. Come on, what's wrong? God, I'm doing everything you ask. I'm going to church. I've given up this. I've given up that. And come on, God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we cannot become a casualty of this technology, this mindset of thinking that we put God not in a box, we put him in the ATM machine. And so we judge the quality of our relationship based upon God's ability to produce. His ability to produce. Well, God, I found the promise, I claimed the promise, and it's been 3 weeks. What's up? Anybody ever said that? What's up? Well, God, come on. Get your calendar out. What's up? This ATM mentality. Can we pray about that right now? Father God, help us. Help us. That we really want to have a prayer life that is about a trusting, loving relationship. And sometimes we get stuck into this petition and response and putting you on the clock. So help us, help us, help us. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, in order for us to experience the greatest time in prayer, I think we need to look at the individual who gives us the ability to pray and really helps us understand how to pray. John chapter 17, if you have your Bible, John 17, some have said, some theologians call it the greatest prayer ever prayed. And, you know, simply if you want, I mean, this prayer has been examined in so many ways, but in a simpler way, we can look at this prayer in three parts. He prays for himself, Jesus. He prays. That's the key word, pray. Said it again, pray. He prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all believers. Some theologians called Christ's priestly prayer. Now, depending on the translation, John 17 is about 650 words. You can read it in under 4 minutes, this prayer, but yet the benefits last a lifetime. What do you say? And there's four reasons why this prayer is so awesome, why it's the highest prayer. It's the greatest prayer because of the person who prayed the prayer, the contents of the prayer, the situation that demanded the prayer, and the victory that is in Jesus' prayer. So we're going to look at what is it, because we're looking at 2016 becoming the greatest time in our prayer life. And we're going to look at how Jesus prayed. What did he do in his prayer? And we want that to be extrapolated, be ushered in, be transferred, be a part of our life. So the first thing Christ does, he prays for himself. John 17, verse 1, he prays for himself. You know, if you ever taken a plane flight, commonly, basically every flight you hear, a stewardess will say or a recording will say, in the unlikely event of an emergency, the oxygen masks will come down, and what are you supposed to do? You put your own oxygen mask on first, right? Before helping anyone else, you put your own oxygen mask on first. And so here with this prayer, Christ begins his prayer praying for himself. It's a good thing to pray for yourself. It's a holy thing to pray for yourself. Amen? So you can pray for yourself. But we look at what Christ prayed for himself. He asked, Father, glorify your Son also that I may glorify you. So Jesus prays to be glorified. So why don't you pray to be glorified? Talking about prayer becoming the best time in your life in 2016. So he begins by praying for himself. Then the second thing Christ prays for is verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before this world was. So this is speaking about his pre-existence. When God stood outside of time, when there was nothing but God. There was a time when there was nothing but God. I mean, I can't even think like that, can you? The ramifications of that. Before there was an Adam or an amoeba, it was God. Micah talks about the foretold of the prophecy. Micah 5:2, it says, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. You know, one of God's names, he's called the Ancient of Days. Woo, that's something. That gets me riled up. The Ancient of Days. Come on, talk to me. I'm the Ancient of Days. There's nothing you can tell me that will intimidate me because I'm the Ancient of Days. I understand that because I'm the Ancient of Days. You can talk to me about this because I understand. Remember what God told Job when Job was feeling a little upset and when God said, where were you? Remember that? I'm the Ancient of Days. Where were you? I'm talking about who you talk to. No one said they talked to President Obama, but you've talked to God. You've talked to the Ancient of Days. Isaiah 42:1 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. Overhearing this prayer, we appreciate why John began his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So talking about the pre-existence. And then Jesus talks about verse 4, John 17:4. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Don't you want that to be your prayer? Don't you want that to be your legacy? That whatever God has laid on your heart, you were able to do it? Talking about praying for yourself. Praying for yourself. We're talking about 2016 being the greatest time in prayer. So I ask, what is the content of your prayer life? Have you ever just sat down and just kind of analyzed what you talk about to God? You could shake your head up and down. You could say no. So I'm going to try it again. Have you ever just assessed what you have said to God? You have? Praise God. Because there are a number of Christians, they don't really kind of do. They just kind of go to the ATM machine, you know. They're not assessing what they're asking him, you know. And so sometimes when we do that, we talk about prayer not working. We talk about prayer not working or God doesn't hear. But there are some reasons why perhaps prayer isn't addressed the way we need it to be addressed. James 4:3, because we're talking about many prayers go unanswered, this could be some of the reasons why. James 4:3, selfishness. If your prayer centers around three people, me, myself, and I, you might have a problem with the Lord. Proverbs 28:9, disobedience. See, if it's all about your will and you're not trying to do God's will, then you're going to have some challenges with your prayer life. Does that make sense? Psalm 66:18, unconfessed sin. What's the saying? You can fool some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time, but you can't hide anything from God. And so if we have some of those secret agents out there, you know, living those double lives, you know, and then you're coming to God, you know, unconfessed sin, then you're going to have trouble with your prayer life. 1 Peter 3:7, marital discord. You better watch who you marry. It'll impact your prayer life. James chapter 1, 5 to 7, doubt. I mean, we really have to get a handle on that, because so much hurt and trauma, things happen in our life that we can begin to doubt. Doubt. He who died on the cross. Doubt. So that could severely handicap our prayer life. Mark 11, 25 and 26 speaks of an unforgiving heart. An unforgiving heart can jack up your prayer life. And Daniel 10, spiritual warfare. Remember Daniel? Daniel chapter 10? He prays. He prays, right? And he doesn't hear anything. He doesn't hear anything. And then finally, he is told that the first time you prayed, we heard it. Do you remember that? But then he says what? The enemy got in the way. 3 weeks, wasn't it? 21 days? So we have to understand that as you talk to God and as you need something, and obviously God doesn't disclose to us exactly how the fighting goes on and why some prayers are hampered and hindered, and while other prayers happen. It's like, have you ever that happened, a prayer you pray and it just almost happened just like that? And then you have other prayers that is more of a journey. You got to hang in there. But so we have to make an account that there's some type of spiritual warfare, and my God loves me, and as long as I'm not doing these other items, it's good. I'm just going to trust God anyway. That I'm just going to trust him anyway. What do you say? So, talking about prayer, 2016 being the best, do we base our request on promises of what we will want and will do? That's a big difference. What we want and what we will do. And do we seek to do his will first and then ask God to manifest what he has promised? See, that could be a reorientation, that we're asking according to his will, what he thinks, and then we plan accordingly. And remember what we talked about as far as our prayers and our faith, because we're looking to Jesus in faith, that you will be a functioning church member. What do you say? Remember, you took that vow. You're praying that, Lord, help me to serve the church. You don't want to be a pew potato, right? You don't want to come and get your favorite pew, and that's your work for the week. I got my seat. I will seek to be a source of unity in my church. You're praying for that, right? Living by faith. I will not let my church be about my preferences and my desires. That I will pray for my pastor and church leaders every day. I will lead my family to be healthy church members. This is what you're praying for. This is what you're having faith. I will honor the free gift of membership when I receive the free gift of salvation, when I became part of the body of Christ. I tried to get the image, I didn't get the image, but we're going to be praying more and more for our school. Tidewater Adventist Academy. Remember the image? You remember that you were here last after the image? They put that image up in your mind of that school and that property that's going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And, you know, and when you struggle, and when you struggle to do God's will, I love this first Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good pleasure. I mean, if you are struggling to do his will, all you need to do is ask God, Lord, help me to do your will. How simple is that? And isn't that why he gives us his Holy Spirit, so that we can do his will? For whatever God tells us, he equips us to do. Whatever he calls us to do, he equips us. He gives us the power. He gives us the ability so that we can do it. We can do it. You can do it. This year, your prayer life is going to be awesome. Your prayer life is going to be the best time that you have ever prayed, because you understand that the purpose of prayer is not to work a change in God. You're not trying to get God to do anything. Because have you found out if God's not going to do it, he's not going to do it? Have you found that out yet? So since we can't force God to do anything, Satan tried that. Satan tried to force God out. Isn't this what the great controversy is about? But to work a change in us so that we desire to do his will. Lord, we desire to do your will. What do you say? Well, I like this from the Lord's prophet, Christ Object Lessons, page 143. Prayer will bring our wills and thus our lives into harmony with the will of God. So you could be outside if you just start praying and asking God, Lord, reconnect me. Lord, reconnect me. Do you have anybody in your family needs reconnected? Be like Abraham and intercede for them. Get on your knees. Get what you have to do. I tell you, I get up at 4 o'clock, 4:30, and I start interceding. No, really, because that's what you got to do. Because Jesus said, remember one time they had somebody, they couldn't get this evil spirit out, and Jesus said some things come only through fasting and prayer. Some things you just really got to stay at because, you know, we got these chromosomes and this DNA, and stuff misfires, stuff happens, and we just got to pray through. We have to pray through, not give up, but pray through, right? Not give up, but pray through. And then 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what a blank check, huh? Anything, but here it is, the qualifier, according to what? His will. He hears us. Talking about prayer being the best in this year. John 5:30. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. This talking about, we're talking about our prayer life. We're talking about our prayer life. So we understand how Jesus talked about himself in prayer. Now we're going to talk about the situation that demanded the prayer. What was going on for Christ to pray this prayer found recorded in John 17? This prayer happened just before entering the Garden of Gethsemane. His prayer to his Father was just before his trial and crucifixion. This is the intercession that the Savior would carry on within the veil, where his great sacrifice in behalf of men, the offering of himself, should have been completed. This prayer is the last prayer with his disciples. This prayer. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, this prayer was before the cross. He endured the cross and despising the shame. He endured the cross and despised the shame. Remember, Jesus accepted suffering, but he rejected shame. When Jesus was faced with crucifixion, he endured the pain. Jesus did not avoid the suffering. He went through the suffering. But what did he reject? The shame. All the shame that others were attempting to pile on him. He rejected the shame. It had no power over him. Jesus did not accept the shame others were trying to put on him. They tried to marginalize Christ. They abused him. They said that he was of no value. But Jesus rejected the shame. And don't we tend to do the opposite? We try to avoid the suffering, but somehow we accept We accept the shame that pulls us down. But you and I must look to Jesus and accept whatever the suffering is by faith, but reject the shame. Reject the shame. I don't know what shame you may have, but reject it. Reject the shame. And this is where your prayer life becomes so powerful. You can reject the shame. You can reject the shame, saying, I have repented of my sin. I'm a child of God. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I am not going to let my past bring me down. I reject the shame. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. And you know Jesus prayed by faith, right? So the question was, when Jesus prayed this awesome prayer, was his prayer answered? Well, all you and I need to do is look at Revelation, that great throne room scene, Revelation 5, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood of every tribe and every tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings. You are a king and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And he goes on to say, and then I looked, and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength. See, his death had universal implication. He prayed, and we see the victory in his life. And he goes on to say, and honor and glory and blessing and every creature was in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. All the suffering Christ went through, he prayed through. He remained faithful. And this is our example. Whatever your struggle, whatever it is, keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up. Jesus is our example. But he received, his death not only had impact, but his resurrection had universal impact. Bible tells us, 1 Peter 1:22, and gave him glory. He was resurrected in glory. And Revelation chapter 2 tells us Jesus now reigns with authority over the nations. This is the God we serve. But you know, Jesus also prayed not just for himself, but he prays for you and me that we would receive his glory. Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but I also for those who will believe in me through their word. Do you believe his word? Well, you can receive his glory. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory, oh, here it is. Somebody might shout, that could be okay. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Wait. The glory. We're talking about Yahweh's glory. The glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Woo! Boy, if I preach this in a Pentecostal church, folk will be running around. I'm serious. Speaking in tongues, you know. Calm down. Do you receive this? Come on, you don't read this every day. Fox News ain't going to tell you this. ESPN is not going to tell you this. God has not given you charisma. He's given you his glory. His glory. Mercy. His glory he has given us. He's given us. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints. Do you get the connection? He's going to be glorified through us and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony amongst them was believe. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That's the glory. His spirit, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit brings the presence of God in us. The Holy Spirit brings the reality of Jesus in us. We can have the glory. And see, we cannot separate our prayer life from faith. And see, what happens if you begin to believe what you pray, because according to what you read, and you're going to live according to God's will, when you pray and you believe according to God's will as a family, when you pray and you believe according to God's will as a family, when you pray and you believe according to God's will as a church, you come together. Some of you came from the east, some of you came from the west, but when you pray and you believe according to God's will, you know what happens? Then prayer becomes a spiritual weapon. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, when you believe what you pray, prayer becomes a spiritual weapon. Huh? Prayer becomes a spiritual weapon. Some changes in my wife, I know, but my wife has prayed for me. Do you hear me? If you really want to change somebody, pray. Keep praying. Pray. Prayer is a spirit, the weapons of our warfare. So what is our weapon? What is our weapon? Some of the places I go, sometimes I think I wish I had a gun. No, I'm serious. Some places, I'd be thinking about that. Well, maybe I need to register. No, really, really, some places. But then the Spirit says, wait a second, I got you. You ever have God say that? I said, okay, God, I'm coming, I'm getting out this car. No, seriously, I said, no, God, I'm getting out this car. Please help me to return. I'm saying, some of the places I go, there's stuff going on. But you got to go where God tells you to go, because that's the safest place. Wherever God tells you to go, that is the safest place. You can book that. Wherever God tells you to go, if he told you to go, that is the safe, not in some cave, but where God has told you to go. So you have a spiritual weapon. And then you got all 66. Huh? Loaded, locked and loaded. Huh? Really? That's why we're reading the Bible through. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so that when we pray, we can pray with some type of intelligence. Huh? Spiritual intelligence. Not just intellectual intelligence, not just emotional intelligence, but the only intelligence that will get you and me to heaven is the only intelligence that the devil runs from is, huh? You can bank that. 2016, do you receive it as your greatest time for prayer? You got to leave with that thought. You got to fight that once you leave out that, no, this year I'm going to experience prayer like I have never experienced prayer before. You need to throw out that dried old stuff you had thought about prayer and receive what God has for you this year. Prayer is not boring. You know, if I talk to President Obama, I'm not going to be falling asleep. You hear me? Would you? Huh? So why would you fall asleep with Yahweh? Where's your expectation with He who created everything? Where is your expectation with He who promises to come back? Not for a corpse. Some of you are corpse, but you can be resurrected today. 2016, the greatest prayer time ever. What do you say? God's good. God's good.